opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
And here we go.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herd Robbins Cloud LLP. This is The Blitz, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right. Happy Thursday, everybody. You know what? We're not even going to bother introducing ourselves.
I don't have time to bitch about the intro that was supposed to get
because
fixed.
Because we got Richard Sherman sitting here, which I just want to dive right into that because this is always one of the cool things for us. I know Richard's one of your favorite players, one of my favorite guys to watch. Man, we appreciate you spending some time with us.
No question, man. It's always fun to be here.
I don't care about Islands or Josh Norman. You still think you're the best corner in the league?
No question. If you don't go out there thinking that, I mean, no reason to go out there.
Talk a little bit about that. The episode with Odell Beckham late in the season, how heated was that in your mind, and is everything done for now? Is it squashed?
I don't know. I wasn't involved in it. It looked pretty heated from the outside perspective, but you also understand what, those guys are battling. They're both kind of younger, and it was a big-time matchup. I had a lot of time to think about it. It just happens like that.
Have you had something like that where it got beyond what it looked like, was it what's acceptable on the field of play?
No, I don't play like that.
I like it.
I want to ask you about, because Cam Newton's gotten a lot of criticism, and that's been a big topic, but he just seems to me to be a guy who's having fun, which watching you play, it looks like you're having fun out there. What are your thoughts on that? Because I love it when guys are enjoying the game.
Yeah, I think, like I said before, I think people just take it out of perspective. I think a lot of people take this game a lot more serious than it needs to be taken. It's a game. It's a kid's game. When you're playing the same game at, 26, 27, 35, 39, that 5-year-old, 6-year-olds get to play, you never should take it that serious. And I think people take this game and his actions more serious than they take their own lives, I think. They're sitting here acting like he's a villain of some sort because he goes out there and plays it like a kid plays it. And, I mean, it's sometimes just stunning. I don't know what to say to those people because it's like if you ever accomplished your dreams, if you ever – made your dreams a reality and you didn't celebrate and you weren't excited and you didn't have a good time doing it, then there would be no point to do it. I'm sure if those people, whatever their dreams may be, if it's being the president, if it's being a doctor, if it's being a lawyer or just getting a promotion, if they got promoted, I guarantee you they wouldn't act like they've been there before. I guarantee you they wouldn't just sit there and say, oh, well, thanks. They'd be excited. They'd show some passion, but he shows it and apparently it makes him a bad guy.
Richard Sherman is our guest. I know the season didn't end quite the way you guys wanted it to, but quite a roller coaster there with the game against the Vikings, and then just a slow start that you never could quite come back from for the Panthers. What really went wrong there? And in the end, are you pretty satisfied? Obviously, you're not going to be 100% satisfied unless you're here, but how do you feel about the season as a whole?
Yeah, we just dug ourselves too deep a hole. Didn't come out of it until late. Gave ourselves a chance at the end, but like I said, dug ourselves too deep. Anytime you don't go to the bowl, you're not winning it. It's a disappointing season, so. It is what it is.
You guys, it seemed as a team, started to take a different identity this season. And a lot of that had to do with Marshawn being out, I think. But it looked like Russell kind of changed the way he was approaching the game or the coaches adjusted the way they were letting him approach the game and became more of a passing offense. And does that affect you guys, how you play defense? Because running game and defense go hand in hand. When a guy starts chucking it around, it puts a little more pressure on you guys.
Not really. We're still the number one rushing offense in the league, stats-wise, yardage-wise. So they didn't really change the approach at all. Russell threw it a little bit more. He made some huge plays with his arm, went franchise record for yards and touchdowns and all that good stuff. But we're still predominantly run, and I think it still worked the same way for us. But it was awesome to see him play the way he did, to see Doug Baldwin play the way he did. And see a lot of young guys step up for us, like Thomas Rawls. Some exciting players for the future.
Let's talk a little bit about this next VR here, because we both got a chance to try it out right before we
crazy.
Came out. That thing is awesome, man. How did you get involved with these guys?
It's just part of the game. I'm into tech, a lot of technology, and they're at the cutting edge of technology, and I think that's the next big thing. As far as preparing for games and also in terms of watching games, viewing sporting events. I think it just gives the fan a totally different experience than they're used to. Even if you're at the stadium and you're in the 300s to nosebleed, you put something like this on and you're on the field. You're sitting there right next to the players. I think you could feel the speed of the game more. You can see the game differently than you would. Even if you're sitting at the 50 and think you have great seats, you're not on the field. You're not getting to see Julio Jones and Darrell Revis go at it. You know, you can turn and look left and see the matchups that you want to see if you're wearing this. And it's incredible. I think this is the future of the game for fans and players.
Seems like football especially would be fun to just, if we want to watch you lock down somebody for a few plays, you could just focus just on that.
Exactly. And that could happen whether you're in a stadium or not, because it's totally different, you know, being in the stands and seeing it. You know, you can kind of feel the game, but you can't really tell the speed of the game. If you're on the field, you can see how fast things are going, how quickly, how explosive things, those hits that you want to see. I mean, they're doing it for hockey now, basketball. You can see Steph Curry drain a three. I mean, it's real fun. They have it at the NFL Experience now, so if you want to go check it out, you know, feel free.
Yeah, boxing too they had on there, which was fantastic. So how do you see this game going Sunday? I know you've been asked that a lot, but yeah, I know you're familiar with both these teams. How do you think it's going to go?
I don't know. I'm not going to watch it. So I mean, I don't have a horse in the race. So I care less. Honestly, I mean, it'll be two great defenses playing. You know, it'll be Peyton's. Whether it'll be his last hurrah or not, who knows? Cam will go out there and put on a show, I'm sure. I mean, it'll be a good game.
So you're not there, you don't care, right?
Exactly.
I admire that. I'm not going to lie. So going into next season, what do you guys think? What do you need to see differently for you guys to get to your goal and to be in Houston next year and for the Super Bowl? Be interesting to see you guys there. What's it going to take?
Just guys just doing their jobs. You know, guys are veteran now. You know, we're a veteran club now. We were young a few years ago, and we're a lot more veteran now. Russ was playing outstanding football. I think, you know, with Thomas Rawls coming back healthy, our O-line coming back more experienced. Hopefully they can bring back all the guys we need to bring back on the D-line. And, I mean, we got a couple guys that we're, you know, obviously unrestricted free agents that they're working on. But I think we just need to play our games. We'll be fine.
How hard is that? Because a lot of you guys get into that window now where you're getting paid. And when you guys first started being the team you are, a lot of you were on rookie contracts. How difficult is that, certainly for a front office to keep you guys together, but for you guys as players to work with that so that you can all be there? I know some guys haven't been happy with their deals either. And how do you balance that with, I want to play for a team like this versus, hey, I got to get paid?
You know, I don't know. You know, I'm under contract, so.
Yeah, he got paid. I know about that other stuff.
but the salary cap is also going up, you know, basically $10, $11 million every year. So it's becoming a little easier on the front office to do that. You know, back then it was, I think, of 120 million, and now it's going to be closer to 160 than it was 120. And I think that makes a huge difference. $40 million to give out to different players, and it's not like the rosters have increased at all. But I think they've always found a way. So you just got to trust they're going to find a way again. You know, I don't stress myself about it. It's not my job.
I said I think you're the best corner in the league, the best wide receiver in my opinion. Calvin Johnson announced his retirement. What were your thoughts on that? And are you surprised that he's walking away?
Not really surprised. You know, he's been banged up. You know, guys are competitive. They want to win. They want to go out there and compete for championships. And unfortunately, he hasn't had the chance to do that. So, I mean, that's frustrating for anybody who cares enough in this game, who has the passion that he does. And I'm sure he has a lot more football left in him. I'm sure if he could, he'd come back and, you know, if he knew he'd have a chance to make the playoffs. And who knows if Detroit will, you know, they can make some things happen and go to the playoffs, but, you know, obviously he feels like it's the right time.
I know you're not there yet, but how do you balance that decision between, you know, I've accomplished everything I've wanted, I've made money, I'm healthy, versus I want to keep playing? And how hard is it for guys to make that decision? Because especially with all things we're hearing about concussions, it's all such a big deal now. How much of that goes into your thinking 3-4 years down the road?
I think everything's considered. You know, you consider the time away from your family. You consider the health ramifications. You also consider how much your team has a chance to go out there and win it. You know, that's the only reason you play. I mean, that's the only reason most of us play, to go win championships. So if you can't do that, then it's hard to go out there.
All right, that's Richard Sherman for our money, the best cornerback in the NFL. Richard, really appreciate the time and that next VR. Man, that's awesome stuff,
very
guys.
Cool.
Check it out.
Thank you very much.
All right, we'll be right back. Fred Fowler, A.J. Hoffman.
What? watch all this brouhaha.
You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herb Robbins Cloud, LLP. Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herd Robbins Cloud, LLP. This is The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we are back here at Radio Row, and once again, we're going to just jump right in because we've got another awesome guest. Doug Flutie joins us.
How are you?
Good, man. Really appreciate you spending the time.
I like to call him former Buffalo Bills.
Former Buffalo Bill.
Doug Flutie. Yeah. Yes, I'm one of the few Bills fans in existence outside of the city of Buffalo, probably. I like to always mention that.
Those were fun years. Even though the weather is what it was up there, those were the most fanatical fans ever. They went to the parking lot for vacation starting on Wednesday.
Very strange.
RVs in the parking lot starting on Wednesday for a Sunday game.
Your career, a little bit of a roller coaster. I mean, this isn't... Couldn't be what you expected when you go to college and you have one of the most iconic plays in the history of college football, and then you think, all right, now I'll have to start my pro career. Did you have any idea what your pro career would entail?
I had no idea that I'd be a Division I college quarterback. You know, I was fortunate. I that was kind of a surprise what happened at the college level. Because of that success, there was an opportunity to go to the NFL or go to play pro ball. And so I took each – it's not like Cam Newton 6'6", and you roll out there, you're going to be playing for 20 years. I was like year to year, week to week, looking over my shoulder, wondering if – you know. So I was always – I was never in that comfortable position where you knew you were going to be a franchise guy and play for a long time, and you just kept fighting, and all of a sudden you played 21 years.
I think about when, you know, Johnny Football, a lot of similarities, at least on the field. You know, a smaller guy who, you know, there's a lot of doubt on that, but a guy who accomplished a lot in college, and he gets the same opportunity you did, and it just seems he did not want to do what you're saying about getting up and working every day to make sure that you're there. He seems to be taking for granted what you worked so hard for.
I think things came so easily to him early on in college. I mean, winning the Heisman as a freshman, everything else.
Right.
That you just expected success at the next level too, and it's twice as hard. You got to put in twice as much time, all the studying that goes into it, and you know, for me, always having that chip on my shoulder about my size and feeling like I had to prove myself. I mean, I thought I had to prove myself every day in practice, every time in a meeting room. So I was kind of the complete opposite of always on pins and needles about being prepared and studying and working.
Part of your career that I found very interesting was the success you had in the Canadian Football League. You went up there and really became an iconic figure in that league. And we don't see a lot of guys doing that anymore. Is it why do you think that is? Because I thought, by the way, you wrote a fascinating piece on that in Peter King's Monday Morning Quarterback last year. We talked about your time there. What was that like for you, and why don't we see more guys doing that as quarterbacks?
I don't know, because if you're a guy that's a marginal – NFL caliber guy and you want to prove that you can play, first off, if you can get on an NFL roster, you get on an NFL roster. But if it doesn't happen, it's a great situation in Canada where you can be a starter, play, throw the ball 50 times a game, air it out. The game is put on a quarterback's shoulders up there, and you either learn to throw the ball down the field and read coverage, or you're going to disappear. So it was great for me. It regained my confidence in throwing the ball down the field and controlling a game. For me, I was play calling. I was running my own offense. I really grew as a football player.
And talk about playing on the plains up there. You've got to learn to throw the ball in the wind.
Oh, wind condition. I played in Winnipeg where there was gusts that were over 50 miles an hour gusting. I threw a ball as hard and as far as I could throw it. And it fluttered on me. So it went into the wind, straight up, came down, and a guy caught it for an 8-yard gain. And I threw it I think the ball traveled about 20 yards total from where it left my hand. And I threw
like
it
a boomerang.
As far and as hard as I could throw it.
You know, I think back to your last year in Buffalo, and they kind of decided they wanted Rob Johnson to be the guy. Mm. And the problem was Rob Johnson, A, couldn't stay healthy, and B, just wasn't that good. And you came in and you played very well that season. Then at the end of the year, they decide, we're going to stick with Rob Johnson and move on from you. Like, did you feel that there were times that even when you did everything you had to do on the field that you still couldn't get the benefit of the doubt?
Yeah, the frustrating part there was I played a whole season, went to the Pro Bowl, went to the playoffs 2 years in a row. It was two seasons of winning.
Yeah.
And they had seen no results from the money they had spent on Rob. Rob came in and played a meaningless game at the end of the season and played well. And they got excited. Ownership decided we got to get our money's worth out of this guy, and he's got to play. In fact, Wade Phillips was the head coach at the time. So it was very, very – I love Wade. It wasn't Wade's decision, trust me. But, yeah, very frustrating because you bust your tail to gain an opportunity. We had a really good football team. We felt we had a shot at making a run at it. And then all of a sudden, you know, the rug's pulled out from under you, and you're not the guy. And, you know, you got to just keep fighting. That's why I say, you know, at every turn, I tried not to give either management, critics, whoever, a window of opportunity to say anything or pull that play. So you worked your tail off at every turn just to keep getting the opportunity.
Obviously, that Hail Mary is going to be one of the great plays in sports, even today. You see it played all the time. When you see Aaron Rodgers do a couple of those, the first thing people start doing is talking about that play again. How cool is that for you to be able to look up and you know, every year we're talking about that play?
It's amazing to me because I think it was a time and place where when ours happened, it was Thanksgiving weekend, it was against the University of Miami, it was the most watched game that year in college football, all these little factors that rolled into it. There have been 10 plays in the last year that blow that one away. And ours keeps getting brought up as one of the iconic plays and all that. I marvel at it's pure athleticism now. Guys going up and catching the ball in a crowd. Aaron Rodgers throwing the one 65 yards with a crow hop and as high as he threw it. Russell Wilson has completed them. Some of the college finishes. It's been amazing. I think it comes down to just raw athleticism sometimes now.
I know you're here to talk about Epson. Tell us a little bit about what you got going on there.
Well, basically, with Epson, I'm a small business owner myself, and Epson Technologies, I lean on them hard because you want to run a workplace as efficient as you do a football team. And the bottom line for me is that they give you high-quality products, and you save time and efficient in the workplace. You know, it's like for a small business, in-house printing and posters and signage, all that can save money for you in-house. And it's high-quality products that are easy to set up, easy to use.
What kind of business are you running?
Well, right now I have a restaurant and also our foundation that we've had for 15 years.
Where's your restaurant? Where are you at these days?
In the Boston area, Plainville, just down the road from Foxborough. There's a casino, Plain Ridge Casino, and we have our Flutie's Pub 22 in there. A lot of my memorabilia is in there.
Nice.
And they stole all my original stuff, too. I was kind of like, wait a minute. My wife wasn't happy about turning that stuff free. But, you know, when you get involved in that, you realize how important your time is, and, you know, time and money. Man, when you can save and be efficient in the workplace and not have to deal with the headaches that come with, you know, even having a printer that you don't change the ink for 2 years, you know, things of that nature. So it's been a lot of fun for me.
I feel like last time I talked to you, you were playing a lot of music. You still playing?
Still do it. Usually we come out to Super Bowl and play a bunch of events. The big gig that we play every year is a tailgate party for the Super Bowl over at the stadium the day of the game. This year being San Francisco, they wanted local area bands, so we got excluded this year from that, but we're back in the loop as of next year.
All right, we'll see you in Houston then. Yeah. That's right.
All right, that's Doug Flutie.
That's former Buffalo Bills quarterback Doug Flutie.
And one of my favorite players to watch, except for when Boston College played the University of Houston in the Cotton Bowl. That did not go well for my end of things. But, Doug, appreciate the time, man, and always a pleasure to talk to you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a very quick break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Fred Fowler, A.J. Hoffman.
Listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herb Robbins Cloud, LLP.
First, I'm on till I'm on an island. My life's right.
Live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50. Presented by Wingstop and Herd Robbins Cloud LLP. This is The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we are back here at Radio Row, and I didn't think it could get any better than what we've already had so far, but it just did because we've got two of the greatest ever, Troy Aikman and Dan Marino, joining us. Gentlemen,
thank you.
An awful lot of winning football quarterbacks sitting right here in front of me. So, got to ask, because one of the big things that we're talking about a lot was concussions, and I know your career, the way it maybe ended a little sooner than it would for a lot of guys. How important is it that there people are having these discussions now, and from both of your perspectives, because I know it's hard to decide when to give it up, and we've got Peyton obviously is kind of at that situation where he's got to make that decision. How do you make that decision, and how did it work for you guys?
Well, for me, a lot of people think that I retired because of the concussions. That wasn't it at all. I was having some back issues that kept me really from playing my last year and ultimately led to my retirement. You know, I think that for Peyton, he's obviously had a tough year physically, and I think that happens. You know, I think Danny would tell you what he went through towards the end of his career. And if you're going to play as long as you can play, then invariably your body is going to start breaking down. And that's what's happened. I think it's impressive that Peyton's been able to play through, you know, four neck surgeries and continue to play at a really high level. And, this year obviously being a little bit different from that standpoint. But for the game, I think the league's done all they can to try to make the game safe with regards to head injuries and concussions, and not a lot more can be done there. But I'm hopeful that for Peyton, that whatever his decision is, he's content with it. I anticipate this being his last year. And if it is, he has a chance to go out like his boss on the white horse, which would be pretty cool.
That'd be great. Yeah, I looking at Peyton, I think it is amazing. I agree with Troy that he's been able to come back from the injuries that he's been able to come back and play in. And especially this year, I think it's helped him that, you know, he did kind of get injured, and now he seems to be fresher than he was if he would have played those games. So, you know, hopefully that's going to help in the game. But and as far as the concussions concerned, I mean, I had a few concussions. I think the league is, I agree with Troy again, that the league is doing, you know, what they can to make it as safe as they possibly can, and trying to do all the research to help players, especially, I hope, to help older players too that have had problems. And just going forward, it's knowledge. It's about learning about what happened in the past and trying to make it better.
You know, you guys are a couple guys who maybe could have had a little bit longer careers if the injuries wouldn't have caught up with you. Calvin Johnson is walking away from the game where a lot of people still think he's, you know, at the best that he's been. I mean, besides this year, he was a little banged up. But,
sure.
I mean, do you think we're going to start seeing a trend of that happening more where guys walk away before the injuries really start to get
I think it's already happened. You've seen it, you know, this past year, a few guys retiring that are young and still, you know. And it's – you could understand it. It's an individual's decision to make. I mean, to me, I was always about playing as long as I could because I love the game. And it's – you know, it's not about money, but it is a little bit about money, but it's also about loving the game and playing it at a high level. And I've always felt if you could play it at a high level and you really, truly love the game, you're going to be playing. But you're probably going to see guys because of the injury factor and the fact that they do make a lot more money than we were making, so they could probably afford to, retire a few years earlier.
Yeah, I think what Danny says is right, that the top players, guys like Calvin Johnson, are making so much money that they're able to make decisions, I guess, for their, you know, future and their health. Maybe put that into a little bit better perspective. I know in covering Detroit games, you know, Calvin has really been beat up.
Right.
Obviously, he's a big physical receiver, so he takes a pounding, but him getting ready each week is a challenge, and he's been through a lot, and there's some guys who would continue to fight through that. There's other guys who look at it a little bit differently. But like Danny said, it's just an individual decision as to how far you want to take it.
Sure.
In both your cases, you obviously had broadcasting futures. Was that in the back of your mind that you were going to be able to stay around the game, or was that something that came up later?
For me, I thought I wanted to do it, you know, because I did some local TV shows that I had down there, and I thought I might want to get into it. Kind of slowly got into it with HBO doing Inside the NFL, and it was good for me. And it does keep you involved, you know. I mean, and Troy's at a different level doing the games. I was just doing the studio stuff. But it keeps you enough. It gives you enough of it so, you know, you look back at your playing days and say, well, I mean, I'm still kind of in it somehow.
Troy, tell us about this campaign you're working on, because this is, I think, something that touches a lot of people.
Yeah, I was diagnosed in 1998 with melanoma, and I was fortunate that I caught it early and they were able to remove it and didn't require any more treatment. But a lot of people aren't as fortunate as I was, and there's some that are in a real battle for their life with advanced melanoma. So I partnered with Novartis, and it's not to talk about, you know, how to prevent skin cancer with sun exposure and all that. It's really geared more towards those that are in advanced stages of melanoma and bringing the attention to the fact that there's more than one form of melanoma, which I didn't know. So it's important to know what form you have and then determine what your treatment plan is going forward. And you know, there's a lot of information, of course. The website, which a lot of those questions could be answered, is melanomajustgotpersonal.com. And I've been talking about it now for a few weeks. I know that lives are being saved, bringing some attention to it. And like I said, once it hits the advanced stages, it's a pretty deadly opponent. And I'm hopeful that some people will go and take advantage of some of the information that's available.
Well, being based in Houston, obviously around MD Anderson, we're pretty familiar with this. If you can just get it early enough, yeah, what a difference it can make in treatment.
Yeah, and it's increasing. You know, I mean, my kids are different. My kids are now 13 and 14, and they wouldn't even think about going outside or getting in the pool without putting sunscreen on. And, you know, for me, it was far different.
So they didn't even think about it.
Didn't even think about it. Yeah. You know, you wanted to get burned. But so that's obviously part of it, you know, getting checked up. But the biggest part of this campaign is bringing some awareness to those with advanced melanoma and trying to determine what form they have so they get the right treatment.
And, Dan, you've kept yourself in really good shape here.
Thanks.
Looking good, man.
Jim Stuckey said you had gotten fat.
Did Jim Stuckey come over here?
He was here yesterday.
Yeah.
And he said, he said Dan had gotten fat, and the Nutrisystem saved him.
Yes, well, the fact is that Stuckey was fat, and I saw him, and he lost weight. He lost, like, 45 pounds or something like that. So he turned me on to it and got to start working with Nutrisystem some. I lost 22 pounds, the good thing about it is that it does change people's lives in a certain way. You know, you start losing, feel better about yourself. You're losing weight. You're going to be healthier. It's just in every way, it's good for you. And we have Sunday Super Monday.
Right.
Super Monday. I've been saying this so much that I can't remember what I'm saying anymore. Super Monday is the biggest decision diet day for men because it's the day after the Super Bowl, and usually men, you know, through the playoffs and then
parties,
eat
together
a little bit too much. So that's what we're promoting today.
I want to ask both of you about the current quarterback situations for the teams you played for. I'll ask you first, Dan.
Sure.
It seemed like the Dolphins committed to Ryan Tannehill when they give him the contract. They thought that this year would be a real kind of a jump year for him, and it just wasn't. I mean, do you think that they're in a spot now where they're maybe questioning their decision?
I wouldn't say that at all. I think that, at times our whole offense was fairly inconsistent, and there was times where Ryan played at, you know, extremely high level this year. And with a new coach, a guy, Adam Gase, that has had a lot of experience with some pretty darn good players and different coaches, and he's a young guy. Smart guy. I think he's going to help Ryan progress and continue to progress. And as a team, we just got to be positive. I think that 6-10 was obviously not a good record. Everybody would have liked it to be better and get into the playoffs. And I think we just have to look forward to, you know, just getting better as a team and making the playoffs.
And Troy, obviously Dallas, expectations were high this year. And Tony Romo's injury, a lot of people will say that's what kept him from being what they could have been. I don't know if that's it, but that's definitely a big part of it. And now they're kind of to the point where they've got to decide how many more years are they going to play the Tony Romo game and see if he can stay healthy for a year, especially now they've got a high draft pick, a lot of quarterbacks available. What do you think the Cowboys do in the future?
Well, they're obviously going to address the backup quarterback position, none of whom were on the team this year will be back in that role next year. And can Romo stay healthy? I think that's the real question. He's had some injuries, and they're in the number 4 slot in the draft this year. And as I've said many times, if they feel that one of those quarterbacks is a franchise quarterback and he's available at number 4, I don't know how you can't take him, you know, and you can kind of set your organization up for the next 10 to 15 years. But, you know, Jerry Jones feels that Romo can play another 3 to 4 seasons, and, you know, we'll see whether that's accurate or not. But they clearly have to address who's backing him up to give themselves a chance if, in fact, he doesn't stay healthy.
All right, two of the all-time greats, Troy Aikman, Dan Marino. Loved you guys as players. Love what you do now. Really appreciate
that.
Thank
having
you.
Us.
Thanks, guys. Yep. Thanks.
All right, we'll be right back. Fred Fowler, A.J. Hoffman.
Watch all this brouhaha.
You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herb Robbins Cloud, LLP. Live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herb Robbins Cloud, LLP. This is The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back live at Radio Row here in San Francisco. And the guests just keep coming. Joining us now is Byron Chamberlain. And really appreciate the time. How's your Radio Row going so far?
It's fun. It's fun. It's not quite media day. What do they call it now? Opening night?
Yeah.
But it's fun. It has that kind of a little feel like that to it, but not quite.
You know, you're obviously a Denver Broncos guy. They're back in the big game. Are you still follow the team as closely?
Oh, yes, sir. You know, my offensive coordinator was Gary Kubiak. So, you know, I'm glad to see him back in Denver. I'm glad to see some of the other coaches, Rick Dennison, Brian Periani, who were on our staff when we won back-to-back. I'm glad to see them back here in the big game. And, you know, I've been a fan of the Broncos since 95 when they drafted me. So I bleed orange and blue, and I'm glad they're back here in the Super Bowl.
What's it going to take for them to win? Obviously the defense was fantastic against the Patriots, and Cam Newton's a different kind of challenge. And obviously, you don't know what you're going to get out of Peyton. What's it going to take for your guys to get it done Sunday?
Well, number one is they can't turn the ball over, and Peyton's done a great job of that in the playoffs of not giving the ball to the other team. The other thing that they have to do, like we said, you talked about the defense. I really believe that it starts inside. It starts with the Derek Wolfs and the Malik Jacksons. They got to control the middle of that offensive line and defensive line and win big there. To allow Von Miller and allow the other guys to eat on the outside.
Something came unplugged. Yeah, it just went dead.
What's up, buddy?
Got nothing.
We lost. Check one, check two.
There it is.
Hey, there we are.
All right, so we're back?
We're back.
Good.
Guess who's back?
Are we back? Studio?
Yes.
Awesome. Yeah. All right, okay. We never left, so basically you got to hear us talk about, everything went down.
Luckily,
so we got to hear the rest of Byron's answer. That's the important part.
I avoided cursing, which is also a good thing.
It's a rarity.
Byron, what do you got going on with the American Football Union, my man?
Yeah, American Football Union is a company, it's a Chinese company, actually, and they're trying to bring the sport of American football over in China. So I'm actually scheduled to go there February 14th, and we're going to universities there who are interested in starting football programs. We're doing these two-week training camps. We're doing coaching clinics where we coach their coaches and spread that gospel of American football, man.
That's pretty wild. I didn't know even that was happening. Wow, that's awesome.
Very cool. Yeah. They love the game over there. And so, you know, I'm also bringing other guys with me. Ricky Williams actually went with me. Chris Hale, former Buffalo Bill, took him over there with me for a time. So, man, and just transporting our culture of the game of football over there in China, man.
During the technical difficulty, the man himself, T.O., sat down with us. Terrell Owens is here representing Butterfinger.
What's happening?
I think that's so ironic that they get one of the greatest receivers
right,
of all time.
Exactly,
Butterfinger.
Man.
That makes a lot of sense. T.O., I got to ask you, and we talked about this earlier this week on the show, when Calvin Johnson retired, whether or not he was a Hall of Famer with what he's done so far. I said yes because I've seen him with my eyes. I know how good he is. But then I start thinking about all these receivers that aren't in the Hall of Fame, and there are people who are saying, you might not be a first-ballot Hall of Famer. And to that, I don't understand where this comes from. Do you have any doubt that you're a Hall of Famer?
I mean, for me personally, I think it's a blessing to be in the position, to share the platform, you know, with guys like Brett Favre, Kurt Warner, and the rest of the nominees and the finalists. You know, I was a kid that had no idea that I would play beyond the collegiate level. So to be in this position, I know it's a blessing. for the people that are voting for me to get in, and I think it would be a travesty to not vote me in, considering my body of work and my numbers speak loudly for themselves. Again, you know, you want to factor in, I'm sure there are some other pieces to the process. You know, in terms of my character, you know, I didn't particularly get along in their eyes with a lot of my teammates, but what teammates didn't get along sometimes with their other teammates or coaches. But what I can say in terms of my character, in comparison to some of the guys that are in the Hall of Fame, I've never been in any run-ins with the law, no drug addictions, no DUIs, none of that, no cocaine, no none of that. And so that's what I'm most proud of. So if you want to bring all that other stuff in, like I said, to me it pales in comparison. So I'm proud for the fact that my family can bask in this limelight that I'm in right now, and I'm proud of the fact of coming from Alexander City, Alabama, when I had so many athletes that were far greater than I was, and to be where I am and what I've accomplished in the National Football League.
I think this class in general, or at least the finalists, you mentioned you, Kurt Warner, Brett Favre. One thing you guys all have in common is very humble beginnings and guys who didn't go to mega colleges and football powerhouses, and you guys really were underdogs a lot of your careers and turned yourselves into these legends. I mean, do you see that similarity amongst this group?
Well, absolutely, and I'm using this platform really to inspire a lot of kids, because there's a lot of kids that had dreams or have dreams to play professionally or beyond the collegiate level. And so for what I've accomplished, you know, again, if I can make it, they can make it. And so if you got that desire, which every athlete does, but the blueprint to my success is those three Ds. That's desire, dedication, and discipline. That's what allowed me to get beyond the stereotype of going to a small school and not really, you know, being overlooked and overshadowed by some of the big schools and talents, and I made it.
All right, T.O., really appreciate the time. Byron, appreciate the time, guys.
Thank you. And, absolutely.
Always an honor to have you all on.
We don't have enough time. This is driving me crazy.
I know. I want another 10 minutes with these guys. All right, we'll be right back. Fred Fowler, A.J. Hoffman here from Radio Row.
You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50.
I think this sounds awesome.
Presented by Wingstop and Herb Robbins Cloud, LLP.